Lord. Till we speak again, beloved, stay well, stay blessed. God loves you. Goodbye.
The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning we're going to hear excerpts from the Hudson State of the City public community event that Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson held online March 17th, and WGXC broadcast live. We'll hear excerpts from Representative Antonio Delgado talking about the latest stimulus bill, State Senator Daphne Jordan talking about the problems with Governor Andrew Cuomo in Albany, and we'll also hear Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson talk about what he thinks were his biggest accomplishments and goals for the next year. We'll hear all that this morning on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll also hear Mark Dunley from WOOC will speak with Jessica Pino Goodspeed of Hunger Solutions New York about child nutrition programs in New York. And we'll also hear the latest about the Norlite hazardous waste incinerator that's spewing toxic PFAS into the atmosphere from Dr. David Bond, the lead author of a letter to DEC Commissioner Basil Sagos that came out this week. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local weather, the better weather, from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All this and more on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned after the local news.
Altogether Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on Altogether Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Victorian-era Valentines of Schaefer, Minnesota. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. New York's COVID-19 web tracker now reports that 30.4% of adults in Albany County have now been given at least one dose of the coronavirus vaccine. Delaware, Sullivan, and Orange counties have not reached 20% yet, but every other local county has. Columbia County is at 27.1%, and most likely the next locality to cross the 30% threshold. Greene County is at 21.8%. There were many reports of open vaccine appointments in Albany, Rensselaer, Columbia, and Ulster counties this week. On March 18th, Ulster County moved its coronavirus vaccination center to the larger site where a Best Buy store used to be at the Hudson Valley Mall. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan asked for volunteers, medical professionals, and non-medical personnel to help for stipends. Then on March 19th, New York State is opening a vaccination center at the Ulster County Fairgrounds that, like the SUNY Albany site, will be open to all eligible, no matter what part of the state they reside. Even with all that good news, there were two more COVID-19 deaths in Ulster County announced March 18th.
Andrea Mackle is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The town of Cairo's policing reform plan was adopted earlier this month by the town's board. The plan was developed pursuant to a June state executive order requiring all municipalities with a police agency to conduct a review of police policies and procedures and to develop an improvement plan in an effort to address the needs of the community. Sergeant Rick Bush, officer in charge of the department, said, and I quote, "Cairo is unique. Cairo is busy enough that the state police sheriff's office and us all cover calls within the town," end quote. Not that Cairo is a hub for crime, he said. Those calls could be anything from a car deer accident to someone locked out of their car to something more serious like an assault, Bush said. During an average month, the town police department has anywhere from 800 to 1,000 interactions with the public. Bush served as one of nine members of the Policing Reform Plan Committee. Others included Town Supervisor John Coyne, Town Board members Steve Kralovich, Assistant Greene County District Attorney Jeff Lowe, and the Reverend Victor Nelson, Attorney Monica Kenny Kapp, and Marie Rabin, an attorney with the Greene County Public Defender's Office, and community members Phil Heath and Mohammed Minhajuddin. The committee met six times, and more than 40 topics were reviewed, ranging from recruitment of officers to racial profiling and transparency. Committee members were also given a copy of the Cairo Police Department use of force policy. The final plan was submitted to the state on March 3rd, and it included the adoption of a standalone policy banning the chokehold, mandatory annual de-escalation training, mandatory annual anti-bias training, and the review of a civilian complaint policy. The Cairo Police Department operates from 8 a.m. to midnight 7 days a week. The town employs two full-time and nine part-time officers. The patrol area is roughly 60 square miles, which is inhabited by 6,600 residents. Bush noted the coverage area encompasses the entire town of Cairo, including Acre, Pearling, Round Top, and South Cairo. Some mailing addresses in Earlton and Freehold are also included as well. The department files 1,200 to 2,000 official police incident reports each year. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup.
Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Durham Town Board, March 16th, paused its review of the Blackthorn Resort expansion proposal to allow the applicants time to regroup with their newly retained attorneys. Town Supervisor Sean Marriott said he wanted to allow the Handles time to decide whether to continue with the plan or withdraw the application. The proposal calls for the addition of 30 campsites to the property located on Sunside Road in East Durham. That site plan has been under review by the town board since December, and the public hearing, which began on February 2nd, remains open. The board agreed this week to allow the applicants 6 months to get all application-related materials up to date. At the March 2nd workshop meeting, Marriott had suggested the Blackthorn withdraw the application and complete a new survey of the resort, according to meeting minutes. Quote, "They will have a survey done with every lot on their property numbered and on the survey," unquote, Marriott said. "Once the survey is complete, Blackthorn could bring a site plan back to the board," Marriott said. The supervisor said there were discrepancies, but confirmed 30 sites and a bathhouse were conditionally approved by the State Department of Health in October 2019. Quote, "It is concerning that laws were made to protect the community would be thrown out the window because they haven't been enforced," unquote, resident Jan Perlin said. Resident Tom Lillis said, quote, "There were a lot of sites along the creek and wetlands that were in violation of state regulations," unquote. A 2018 stipulation agreement between the State Department of Health and the resort showed that 180 sites, a bathroom, and a well had been created without approval, according to an attorney representing some Blackthorn neighbors. The sites have significantly impacted the community, he said. Quote, Sunside Road has come to be used as if it were a private road for RV campers full of golf carts, children, and people who appear to be under the influence wandering around, unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. CGCC Director of Public Relations Jacqueline Stevenson said Rip Van Winkle, Columbia Green Community College's emblem and mascot, is defending its SUNY Mascot Madness title this month. Rip was the first community college mascot to win the top spot in the SUNY Mascot Madness 2019 competition, defeating Walter T. Wildcat of SUNY Polytechnic Institute. The competition was on hiatus in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now in its eighth year, 32 colleges are participating in the five rounds of bracket-style competition. Stevenson said round one is taking place until Friday, March 15. Round two through four from March 22nd to April 2nd. The finals will run from April 5th to 7th. Voting is being held online at suny.edu/mascotmadness. Rip Van Winkle leads the school's athletic teams, the Twins, and serves as a symbol of Columbia and Greene counties, as well as the Catskill Mountain Range. Stevenson said, and I quote, most recently our best mascots have been Sean Berry, class of 2020, and Montgomery Burdick, class of 2019. They both had a lot of involvement in our championship, end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the Centers for Disease Control and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry are finalizing the analysis of biological samples related to people's exposure to water containing PFAS. The city of Newburgh's water supply, Washington Lake, was turned off more than 5 years ago when the toxic chemical was found in the water. The PFAS migrated from the Stewart Airport Air National Guard base, where it was used in firefighting foam used by the Guard's crash, fire, and rescue unit, and then made its way to streams that fed into the reservoir. Newburgh City Councilperson Anthony Grice, a member of two PFAS advisory committees, is awaiting the CDC study results. Quote, we really need to get down to the bottom of it to see what the impact is on our residents and then what are the health implications and then how do we best treat them, unquote, he said. Quote, I am very happy about the CDC and any other agency that wants to come in and help our people with this situation, unquote. Newburgh has been receiving its water from the New York City Catskill Aqueduct since the chemical was discovered. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Edward McKinley is reporting for Capital Confidential. The state Senate Thursday, March 18th, passed the Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act. The measure was approved by the state assembly earlier this week. It now goes to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo for signature. The Halt Solitarity Bill limits solitary confinement for incarcerated people statewide to 15 days and places other restrictions on the practice. Extended solitary confinement is viewed by the United Nations as torture because of its extreme adverse psychological impacts on a person. In addition to the ban on solitary for more than 15 days, the bill creates residential rehabilitation units as an alternative to solitary, prohibits any solitary confinement for people under 21, over 55, who are pregnant or who have a disability. It also requires annual training for staff who oversee solitary confinement and requires the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision to track data for and publish reports on solitary confinement. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said, and I quote, we remember the names Leilene Polanco, Khalif Browder, and Benjamin Van Zandt, and the countless others whose lives have either been taken or destroyed by solitary confinement. Prolonged segregated confinement can cause permanent harms and does not properly address the root cause that led to the punishment. These reforms are morally right, fiscally responsible, and will improve outcomes at jails and prisons, end quote. You can read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog.
Robert Gavin is reporting for the Times Union that the Appellate Division of the State Supreme Court's Third Department, March 18th, unanimously upheld the state's 2019 elimination of the religious exemption for vaccinations. Appellate Justice Stanley Pritzker authored the ruling. The state's public health law requires children between the ages of 2 months and 18 years to be immunized for certain diseases, including measles. The law previously included two exceptions, one for medical reasons, the other on religious grounds. Following a measles outbreak in 2018, which impacted areas in Brooklyn and Rockland County, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill into law repealing the religious exemption. 55 families then sued the state, alleging the repeal was unconstitutional and motivated by active hostility to religion. The parents argued that the state legislature failed to act in the height of the outbreak, that no public hearings were held, and that the animosity towards religion was reflected in comments by lawmakers, one of whom allegedly called the parents, quote, anti-vaxxers, unquote. The third department rejected the arguments by the parents, Goshen-based attorney Michael H. Sussman. Pritzker said the exemption for children for medical reasons was clearly distinct. He wrote the legislature was permitted to exercise broad discretion required for the protection of public health. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a temperature high near 37 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 22. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 54 degrees. And Saturday night, clear with a low of around 29. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM on Friday, March 19th, and we have all sorts of community voices featured today, including the Afrosonic Taxis on at 11 a.m. with new sounds from Afrozen All-Stars Mulata Askati and Super Gombo. Then at noon, after the local news, Jared Wigashid is back with the Sugar Shack Jukebox after taking a year off during the pandemic. Jared is back with all kinds of new sounds on the radio until 2 p.m. today, when Data Cult Audio takes over the airwaves at 2 p.m. on WGXC, featuring Bill Petaway and Scarecrow today. At 3 p.m. on the Radio Art Hour, we hear works from Scanner, Neurotransmitter, Barbara S. and Peggy Awish, and Joan Schumann. Then at 4 p.m., we hear new music from Lily Konigsberg and local artists Jen Cutler and Joe McPhee, and also Christy Gibson from the Magpie Bookstore on Main Street in Catskills, interviewed by Julia Jorn on the radio at 90.7 FM. Then we head to Catskill again at 6 p.m. live for the teens at Clubhouse Radio for an hour until Bound by Books takes over at 7 p.m. with teens in Hudson talking about what they've been reading. Then it's time for International Women's Day on the Nuestra Musica show at 8 p.m. And then at 10 p.m., Guy Welchek is live from Hudson on the radio at 90.7 FM with Guy and Friends on WGXC.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 19th. Early morning temperatures today range from 20 in Mackey to 30 in Annandale on Hudson. Wind gusts will be around today, heavier in the morning, reaching 35 miles per hour, and petering out after 3 p.m. Temperatures will reach 40 degrees at 4 p.m. Overnight, the mercury falls down to 22 degrees, then pops back up tomorrow, reaching 55. Couple that with low winds and it's going to feel like spring. Oh wait, that's right, it will be spring. Actual spring, the first day of it, tomorrow. And then Sunday, it is going to hold on to that feeling. Also with low winds and a high of 56. Since it will be spring, the weather can be quite fickle. But that being said, the temperature trajectory for next week indicates that the snow woes could be over. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:26 a.m., high tide at 7:36 a.m., low tide again at 2:24 p.m., and high tide again at 8:22 p.m. Sunset today will be at 5:51 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:57 a.m. Looking way up, we see the incoming solar wind strike has been moved forward to Sunday. G1 class storms are expected. Solar wind speed is currently 310 kilometers per second at 10.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are fair. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. Current sunspot number is 12. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Travel beyond boundaries on the next Deep Threes as LA producer Shadowy Lines goes about the business of crafting ambient soundscapes. Robbie Robertson rediscovers tape music for a movie soundtrack, and Sweden's Johan Moore Ensemble wails and jams. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Professor Trixie von Mothersbaugh of Catskill, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is really me now. No more hiding. Listen, we're all worried. We're all in pain. That comes with having eyes, with having ears. But just remember one thing. It can't get any worse. It can only get better. Quitting is not going to make you strong. Living will. So just hang on and hang in there. You know, I know all about the hating and the sneering. I'm a member of the Why Bother generation myself. But why did I bother to come out here tonight? And why did you? I mean, it's time. It begins with us, not with politicians, the experts, or the teachers, but with us. With you and with me, the ones who need it most. I believe, with everything that's in me, that the whole world is longing for healing. Even the trees, the earth itself are crying out for it. You can hear it everywhere. It's the same kind of healing I desperately needed, and finally feel has begun with you.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Tracy. I'm the program director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I am from Ghent.
I am Lena, and I am from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate. Bookish
things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
Let's hear what you've got, Lena.
Oh, okay. So I have the Grimm's Complete Fairy Tales collection by Ken Monchain, PhD. And the translation is by Margaret Hunt. And it's like basically a bunch of like Grimm's fairy tales mashed into one book. And my personal favorite that my brother will read me without getting mad, is the fisherman and his wife. And basically, the fisherman and his wife, the gist of it is basically the fisherman finds a magic fish, and the fish is over here like, please don't kill me. I am a magical fish prince, and I don't want you to kill me, and stuff like that. And he's like over here like, okay, I won't kill you. But then his wife finds out about that because he told her, and she keeps on asking for wishes from the fish. And the fish, every single time, grows more upset the more he asks for the wishes. And so eventually she asks for one big wish, and the fisherman tells the fish. But eventually the fish grows very tired and says that he put things back to normal, how they used to be. And basically the moral of the story is to not be greedy and appreciate what you have.
Interesting. That makes me think of a question I was going to ask you, a question I was curious how you two would answer. I was wondering, for each of you, if there's a book that comes to mind that changed you in a meaningful way. So maybe something you learned or something that changed your perceptions or attitudes towards something. It could be big or small.
Well, I did read one about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think I shared it last time. Well, I knew that women's rights weren't fair a while ago. I knew how much they weren't, but I don't think I really did know. Well, I kind of did, but it also gave me a little perspective of what it's like to live back then. I've just heard stories. I mean, sure, it's a book, but also has photography, records, letters, you know, feels more like you're living in that.
You're living in the moment.
That makes me think of the book I'm reading this week, you saying that. Have you heard of this book, Displacement, by Kiku Hughes?
Yeah.
It's a really good comic about a girl. She's 16 years old and she's living in modern times, but there are these seemingly random moments where she's transported back to the 1940s when her grandparents were living in Japanese American internment camps. And she learns about all of the struggles and the triumphs of survival that her grandparents went through. And it made me think about how comics sometimes make you feel like you're there when you're seeing the images more than if you read it in a history book or something.
That kind of reminds me of a movie that I watched with my family, and it's called Moxie, and it's on Netflix. And it's basically about how a girl lives in a town with her family, and there are like all the men there think that women are like dumb, and sometimes they harass the women, and they're over here like, you shouldn't be doing this, but the girl's over here like, oh, what they're doing is wrong. And so she decides to create little pamphlets about Moxie, and she's basically like trying to start a movement to like try to just be like, this is wrong. And eventually the movement starts to turn out very well, and you get to basically see like the amazing stuff that she does as a movement. And the thing is that like she did this all while she was in high school, and like it's not a biography, but it can show that like you can basically do like anything as long as you have the support of the people.
That's such a good lesson for all of us.
Yes, it is.
Did it make you want to organize?
Organize a movement or something like that.
Like get people together to share out a topic?
It kind of made me want to do that because like some of the people in my school are like really mean to some other people or say rude things just because of them like liking someone of the same gender that they are. And it's like kind of not fair to like treat someone that way because no one should ever be treated like that.
Maybe you should do some work to help stop the bullying and help people accept people who are different from them.
Yeah, I should try that.
Well, this is a totally different question, but we've had a serious talk here. I'm wondering an age-old question, which is, do you judge books by their covers?
Oh my God. At first, I thought you were going to say, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which is an age-old question that everyone asks, and I'm so confused with that question. Which one did
I have no idea what they're asking.
Like, which came first, like, the chicken or the egg? Like, I guess maybe the chicken, but then again, the chicken came from an egg.
Probably the chicken, because, I mean, the chick has to lay an egg. But again, the chicken could be in the egg. It's so confusing.
I know.
Anyways, I don't really know if I judge a book by its cover. I mean, sometimes books can have a really, really, really boring cover and then be a really good book.
So you would read it anyway.
I'd read the description. I'd judge it more by the description. And then even if I don't like the description, I force myself to read the first few pages. If I hate it, then I'll just sign off or I'll just skip to the end.
Oh.
And if I dislike it but have the tiniest bit of energy to keep going, I keep going until I get to the juicy part. I've read a few books that don't have a juicy part, though.
Oh.
Boredom. Okay. But Amelia probably thinks that about Old Man in the Sea.
What about you, Lena?
Sometimes it depends, because once I went to a Walmart with my brother, and I saw a book, and I was over here like, huh, I wonder what it's about. And then I realized it had some characters from my favorite video game. And I was over here like, well, never mind. This is my book. We're going to buy this. And I remember almost doing that in a Walmart. Then my brother was like, we only came here for magnets. We're not getting that book for you. And that happened almost a month ago. And when we went back almost a week later, I was over here like, no, someone took the book. And I wanted to cry because it was the only copy left. And I was just like, I want to cry. And it was the second continuation of the book about the video game that I liked. And I was like, but this one's about one of my favorite ones. It has nightmares in it. I like the nightmares. And if you're wondering what game it is, it's Five Nights at Freddy's. And I shared the Silver Eyes one.
Five Nights at Freddy's is scary.
I know, but for some reason, I still play it. Also, one time, my cousin was playing it in front of me, and we both screamed, Foxy was supposed to attack us on night one. He wasn't supposed to.
Grimm's fairy tales are scary, too. You like scary stories, don't you?
My brother reads them to me to sleep, so no, they're not really that scary to me. So, yeah.
Even Cinderella? The original Cinderella is not scary, just a little...
Disturbing.
The stepdaughters do something with their feet to get them to fit in the shoe. Mentionable.
Yeah, that's disgusting. But like I told you, my brother once read me a story about someone murdering a child with a needle. And then the child resurrected and then killed the person who killed them. So I'm pretty sure that's how it went. Because I fell asleep in the middle of the story because I was just over here like, this is such a good story that I'm going to fall asleep.
That was one of the fairy tales?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. He was over here like, Lena, let's read some Grimm's fairy tales to you so you can have a nightmare. And he was just like only doing this with the attention of me having a nightmare.
Did it work?
No, it didn't. I was just over here having a good dream.
Was he bummed out when he learned that you had a good dream?
He was just over here wait, you had a good dream? And he was just questioning all his life choices. Also, he read me Little Brother and Little Sister because he's a little brother and I'm a little sister. And I just saw Rapunzel in here, which makes me fear for the original story.
Because the Disney movie is kind of violent. So imagine how much more violent the original fairy tale would be.
I saw Hansel and Gretel in here.
I'm guessing that it's going to end some way with somebody getting murdered. Most likely the witch. They must shove her in the oven and have big red teeth and chop her down, turn the oven on 520 degrees. Actually, no, most ovens do not go that high. Actually, no, they do go that high, probably, but the standard oven temperature for baking is... Oh, never mind. Sorry, I'm obsessed with baking. Sorry, I'm getting into the baking schematic scientific stuff. Sorry.
Wait.
Do you have any baking or recipe books you like?
Well, my mom's cookbooks, Nom Nom Paleo. We're gluten-free in our family. I'm celiac, which means my body does not react well to gluten. So is my mom, and so we're mostly gluten-free in our family. But anyways, my mom has this paleo cookbook called Nom Nom Paleo, and I love it so much because it feels more like reading a comic book than a cookbook. It's made for adults, but it's so cool because it has really good photography, mouth-watering recipes that are, and paleo is gluten-free, dairy-free, and sugar-free for any listeners that are wondering. And okay. So it's mouth-watering recipes that I can eat. And also in between every chapter, they have a little comic strip with the author and her kids cartoonized, like made into cartoons. But today I am not sharing that. I'm sharing a different book. It's called The OK Witch by Emma Steinkellner. I think that's how you pronounce her name. It's about a girl who discovers she's a witch. It's really awesome. I'm going to read the description. Says on here it's for about ages 8 to 12, and I think that's about right. Magic is harder than it looks. 13-year-old Moth Hush loves all things witchy, but she's about to discover that witches aren't just the stuff of movies, books, and spooky stories. When some bullies try to ruin her Halloween, something really strange happens. Founders Bluff, Massachusetts has a century-old history of witch drama, and surprise! Moth's family is at the center of it all. When Moth's new powers show up, things get totally out of control. She meets a talking cat, falls into an enchanted diary, and unlocks a hidden witch world. Secrets surface from generations past as Moth unravels the complicated legacy at heart of her town, her family, and herself. In this spellbinding graphic novel debut, Emma Steinkellner spins a story packed with humor and heart about the weird and wonderful adventures of a witch in progress. This was made in 2019, and it is 272 pages long. But if you actually read it, it's not that long, because each page has 1 to 4 panels. Well, 1 to 5. But yeah, it's a really good book. And I got this from a book subscription where they send you a box of books each month with a bunch of accessories and stuff. This was one of them in the first bundle. The book subscribe thingy that they send you a box of about 5 or 6 books each month with some stickers and pencils and things like that. And it's called Literati.
Oh, Literati seems cool. I would like that. Monthly deliveries. The OK Witch reminds me of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Do you know her?
Wait, Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Did you say that?
Yeah, you know her?
I haven't watched or read the comic because I believe that there are comics.
There are. Mm-hmm.
But something that my family often watches is the live action show. And if I'm not going to lie, I would kind of like to see Sabrina and read it, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, because it sounds interesting, because wonder what would happen.
You should read it. Maybe that's what you'll both read next. Another teen witch who befriends a magical cat.
Yay.
Georgia,
I know. This one, I don't know if she's teen. I think she's in middle school, so I think she's about 12 or 13. So she might be a teen. She's either a tween or a teen. I'm completely confused on which one.
If you were a witch, what would be the goal of your first spell?
Incendia.
I gotta say ending COVID. I could just go, whoop, COVID would be over.
That's a really good one.
But if I'm being actually serious, I would probably be over here I'm going to try to travel to a magic world, or be I need to try to find this magic animal and have them be friends with me, or basically anything having to deal with nature. Because I remember literally arguing with my sister and brother about what we would be for Avatar or something like that. And I was just over here I want to be an earthbender. And I just really like things that surround the earth, if I'm not going to lie.
I love Avatar. You saying earthbender just really brought me back.
One of my friends really likes Avatar.
One of my friends is trying to get me and another friend to watch Avatar.
You should watch it. Yeah. And you should read it. There are good comics, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, if it's a comic, I'm going to read that.
Have you read the comics, Lena?
I haven't read the comics. I just remembered something.
What's that?
So, my brother is named Calvin. And so, my brother Calvin owns a whole entire comic series. And it's his favorite comic series. Why? Because it's called Calvin and Hobbes.
I can't remember. Is Calvin the person and Hobbes is the cat?
Yeah. Yes. Calvin is the person and Hobbes is the cat.
Do you like those comics?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to read them, but like it's hard for me to get the comics out. Because, like, he has the whole entire, like, collection, and it's not, like, even paperback. It's, like, the hardcover thing, and it's, like, a bunch of the comics, like, stuffed into, like, four books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's really heavy.
Are those funny? I don't think I've read them, really.
Yeah, they're, like, pretty funny, and my brother really wants me to read them. Also, we're saying that if we get a pet, we might name the pet Hobbes, because, like, why not?
You have to, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, so you literally have Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, so like, what would make this even better? Naming the pet Hobbes. Yeah.
What pet are you hoping to get?
I would say a cat, because if I got a pet to name them Hobbes, because like Hobbes is like, I believe, a robot tiger, because like, why not? Why not have a robot tiger as your best friend? Not gonna lie, I would probably have trouble actually wanting to name a dog Hobbes, because like it doesn't even look like Hobbes, like the dog. And so I'd probably just be over here like kind of wanting to name this dog, insert dog name here. So yeah,
maybe you should write a continuation of Calvin and Hobbes about your brother and your new pet.
Yeah, if we do get one. I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask you a riddle. I'm just going to casually over here be like asking you riddles.
I can ask you two riddles also. I have two for you that are tricky.
Can I say my riddle for you?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So, and this is for both of you. So if one of you answers, that will be okay, but it has to be a correct answer. Okay, I travel around the world and I am always in the corner. What am I?
I know. The moon.
No.
Always in the corner. Travel what?
Travel around the world. What am I?
The sun?
Oh my gosh. I know the answer.
What is it?
I think. Is it a stamp?
Yes, you're like the first person to actually get it right. My brother said that this would like be harder for people of like the new generations because of like texting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
god. Is it the stamp?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's like a mail stamp.
Yes.
So, oh my god.
Of course. Okay.
Right. Okay.
It could be the send button on your phone.
Oh, I have one. Okay. A cowboy rode into New York on Friday, stayed in New York for 4 days, then rode back on Friday. Is this possible?
Wait, so a cowboy rode into town
on Friday and stayed in town for 3 days, then rode out on, oh, is this possible?
Wait, on like 3 days?
Yeah, because 3 days after Friday is Monday. He rode in on Friday, stayed in town for 3 days, and rode out on Friday.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is confusing, but like, I guess that makes sense.
No.
Wait. A cowboy rode into town on Friday, stayed for 3 days, and rode out of town on Friday.
On Friday.
Mm-hmm. And rode It could be that the trip was long, I guess.
What'd you say?
Could be long.
I think I might have remembered the answer.
What is it?
Lena, what did you say?
So I said that it could be that the ride was like really long, but then I think I know the answer. It's like he rode through the town. Actually, never mind, because you said he stayed 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was about to say, well, he rode out of the town, then rode out like a quick, because like he didn't feel like riding around, but like that doesn't make sense because you said that he stayed for 3 days.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so, I remember now, this one from middle school. I think the horse's name is Friday.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Wait, you remember that from middle school?
I remember telling this riddle to my friends.
Okay. I have a new one. Okay. Imagine you are in a cement block. No windows, closed ceiling, no doors, and the cement is 3 feet thick, impossible to get through. How do you get out?
You think outside of the box?
Smart guess, but no.
That's a really good answer.
How do I get out? Well, it's all a dream. It's not even real.
Almost got it. Stop imagining.
Stop.
That is not my kind of riddle. I am always for imagining, but I heard it from my school when I was in like second grade. No, first, no, kindergarten. A kid was telling it, well, everybody told it a million times. So when I was only in like first or second grade, they thought I was some sort of riddle master because I secretly heard it over and over and over.
Have you ever read a book of riddles? Do you get your riddles from books?
No, I overhear it or find it on the internet sometimes.
Because there are whole books of riddles.
Really?
Yeah, in the library and on our...
Oh, yeah. I think I love those.
There are even ebooks on Hoopla if you want to get... You don't want to wait. You can start looking up riddles at home.
Yeah.
But what's the answer to your riddle, Georgia?
Stop imagining.
Oh, that is the answer. Oh, sorry.
But, like, you could have thought outside the box, which is...
Yeah, I think outside the box is a better answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that the next time I tell it to somebody. And then when they say that, they'll be like, of course, stop imagining. I'll be like, nope.
You think outside the box.
We're rewriting that one.
Yeah, we're rewriting that one. It's, like, official.
Yes. Your answer is so much better, Lena.
I remember being over here like, oh my god, I just remembered something. When I used to like watch this one show, they got like trapped inside of a box that was being filled up with like water. And if they didn't escape in time, something bad will happen. And so I was just over here like, until like they figured it out. And it was like, I just thought outside of the box. And I was just over here like, oh wow, that's smart. And so I got reminded of that.
Cool.
Well, we are just about out of time for today. So we hope everyone out there listening has a good week filled with quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about more books. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.
Yeah. Yo, me and Cool V, this gonna be our new single. And when you hear the story, you say it's alright though. Yo, Cool V, why'd you give me a cue? One more cue and then I'm ready to go in.
And all of a sudden it start getting warm. The trees and the grass start looking fresh. And the sun in the sky be looking at best. Birds be singing, fly be booming. A lot of brand new cars be zooming. Fly girls looking the best they could be. And the guys be dookie-dookie, then you see. Besides all that, I like the warm weather. Cause that's when you can get yourself together. But I like Easter time with a grand. Cause when I really used to go to Coney Island, we used to eat a lot of stuff like cotton candy. Cause back then it was like fine and dandy. You used to get dressed up in double knits and your plaid suit jackets today with the shits. The good old days was back then, and the reason I reminisce called
it's spring again. Everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now girls, have you ever broke up with your boyfriend and you felt that the world was coming to an end? Sitting around the house packed for no reason, just because you thought your man was skeezing for a couple of days. Look gloomy and gray, thinking about the old happy days. All of a sudden the telephone ring, he begged for your forgiveness, and you know what that brings. Joy and happiness into your life, before you felt like your heart was stabbed by a knife. I'm telling you girls, keep the man that you got, cause if you cheat you might need a VD shot. You know two wrongs don't make a right, and if you did something wrong, don't do the same, it's not polite. Please don't make this breaking up a trend, because
it's spring again. Oh, everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now fellas, have you ever met a girl that tried to front and wanted you to act like you was on a hunt? I used to see my homeboys frown and fret for a girl that always trying to play hard to get. I know I called it myself, I must admit, and said anything you want, you gotta work hard for it. Be the diabolical, be obsessed, and go off with something that a girl possess. They're really on yours like a pair of drawers. They want you to be like Santa Claus. They want drug dealers and four-wheelers, truck jewelry, they expect you to steal her. Shit, I know they must be bugging. They better hit the streets and do their own mugging. But in this case, you would just overlook her, send her on her way and say, I can't help you, hooker.
It's spring again. Everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Come on, baby. Come on, dance, dance.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Talking with Jessica Pino-Goodspeed, who is a child nutrition specialist for Hunger Solutions of New York. We wanted to follow up and report out last week from the National Food Research and Action Center, where it talked about the issue that, you know, with the pandemic and so many schools being closed or at least going to virtual learning, it's had a real negative impact, decrease in the number of students participating in the various child nutrition programs, particularly school lunch and school breakfast. But Jessica, why don't you just start off with a very, you know, a brief introduction. What is Hunger Solutions and what's a child nutrition specialist?
Great. Thanks for having me. So Hunger Solutions New York is a statewide anti-hunger organization. Our mission is to alleviate hunger for New Yorkers by connecting them with federal nutrition assistance programs. So my role at Hunger Solutions New York is working on the federal child nutrition programs, particularly those in school time. So the National School Lunch Program, Breakfast Program, and CEP, a federal provision to offer free meals for all kids.
Now, what has been the response in New York? I mean, how did one deal with this situation where, you know, a lot of students, perhaps the majority of students, were not actually showing up at school? So how did one try to access the various school meal programs?
Right. So in New York, we have about 2 million kids in New York State who qualify for free and reduced price school meals. So as you can see, that's a huge nutrition resource for children around New York State. So when schools closed down in March of 2020, we saw this huge drop in both school breakfast and school lunch participation. And so that report that you mentioned from FRAC really opened our eyes to some data around what we had been hearing anecdotally around the state. So that report included 5 large districts from New York State: Brentwood Union Free School down on Long Island, New York City Public Schools, Newburgh and Large City School District, Rochester City School District, and Syracuse City School District. So that data showed overall in school breakfast a 63% decrease in school breakfast participation and a 75% decrease in lunch participation. So that's looking at those New York schools.
So probably no hard data, but you know, what has been the impact of so many students not being able to access these programs for an extended period of time, almost a year?
Absolutely. So again, right, there is no hard data because we're in real time right now dealing with this crisis. But I feel like the most visual impact that people had over the summer and during that shutdown is seeing those lines and lines of cars of schools giving out food boxes. So those were grab and go meals that were allowable through federal waivers. Many schools teamed up with their local food banks to offer packages for families who were really struggling, facing lots of unemployment, for increase in food insecurity for children in New York State. We're projecting that's about 57%. So that was, we were about at 17% in 2018 of kids in New York State who experienced food insecurity. And now we're expecting that to jump up to almost 27%. So that's a huge increase, mainly from the economic impacts of COVID, but also families really losing access to this vital lifeline to nutrition.
Now, you're the child nutrition specialist, but I know Hunger Solutions does a lot of work on SNAP, used to be food stamps. Do you have any information about how, you know, sort of the food stamp program has been impacted during COVID?